Well, I gotta tell you, it is so fun to be in church with you today, and wherever you are in church. The great news about church is that we're a movement of God, and we represent Jesus to this world. We love Him, He loves us, and we just get to share that great news with so many people. I don't know what that's looking like for you in life right now. I've heard so many cool stories about what it means for people to be sharing in on Facebook and Instagram and chiming in on YouTube, wherever you're at, and just been able to share the message of what's going on at Northgate, what Jesus is doing, how He's impacting lives, and so it's just so fun to get to do church in a different way. And I know when we preach, I know when we do church, I know when we gather like this, I know that this finds you in all sorts of different circumstances. But my heart, I always will be to help you and help me lift our eyes to the horizon. Let us see above the clouds. Let us see above what we're facing, above the challenges, and recognize that Jesus Christ loves us. He's got a plan for us. He wants to meet us. He wants to change us, shape us, and grow us in every season that we're in. And so we're just glad that you're joining in with us. And make sure you feel free to continue to comment along and engage as you watch, as you take part in this with us. This is week two of Broken Road. And this whole series came out of kind of my family and I walking through a challenging time, continuing to walk through a challenging time. And when that challenging time hits, often the very first thing that we want to do is just get ourselves away from it. We want to just turn away, like, Lord, would you just make this hard time go away? Will you just make this broken road smoothed out? Will you just take all these potholes and run a big grader over them and let us just feel good and happy and healthy and all together? We want to feel really great in this season. And so would you just help that happen for us, God? Last week we said that maybe sometimes, in fact, maybe often on the broken road, God's not looking for us to hurry up and find the quickest exit and go and get to a good spot that feels so much easier and cozy and carefree and whatever it might be, but that actually He wants to do something in our hearts and our lives in the midst of the broken road. That often the greatest lessons that we're meant to learn, the things that we're meant to experience and feel, the things that we're meant to grow in, the character that's meant to be developed in us, the testimonies that we're able to speak about and share about, all of that stuff often has to come in broken spaces, not when we got it all together and when we're all set up and when everything feels great. And so if you're in a broken space right now, you're wandering down a broken road right now, these messages are for you because we want you to know that God is not absent. In fact, He wants to do something in your life now, here, and in that space. Do something great in your midst. So last week we said that the first thing we need to learn on the broken road is perseverance. We need to learn just how to walk, how to just continue to move forward, how to keep going, and how to not just stop and find the quickest exit, but to continue forward because maybe, just maybe, God has brought me here. If He hasn't brought me here, He's okay with me being here because He has something for me in this space right now. He has something for you in this space right now. And so, though sometimes God has brought us to that road, there are other times where we've actually, because of choosing to stop following Jesus, because of choosing to disobey Him and reject Him, that has actually been what led us to the broken road as well. So sometimes it's that God leads us to the broken road. Sometimes it's that God leaves us at the broken road. So often through Scripture, you read about all these stories of how God showed His love to His people and they rejected Him and they turned away. And often what God would just do with them is say, okay, well, if you want to be on your own, if you want to go on your own, if you want to protect yourself and look after yourself and provide for yourself and care for yourself, then so be it. I'm not going to force you to walk with me, but this is where I'm going. And so if you want to go that way, go that way. So often through Scripture, people would just go that way then. We like doing things on our own. We like feeling like we've got the best answer, like we know the most in any given situation. I remember my brother was teaching me how to drive standard with his truck. And he's 4 years older than me. He had this little Mazda two-wheel drive truck, but it had a standard with a little like eight-ball shifter on it, so it was just pretty cool. So I was like, I want to learn standard, and I want to rip around, and this is going to be so cool, and everyone's going to love me. It's going to be the best. So my brother would take me out and just drive in parking lots. So we'd cruise around in parking lots, and I would stall like crazy, and I'm trying to learn this thing. And eventually, I thought that I was well-seasoned enough in the parking lot experience that I should go driving downtown. Downtown, by the way, is in Williams Lake, which downtown Williams Lake is more like about the size of the room that I'm in right now. But anyways, I was like, I just want to go and drive downtown. And my brother said, no. I don't want you taking my truck. You're not ready to do that yet. You don't want to be driving that downtown. You're going to need to wait before I let you take my truck downtown. Well, I sort of treated that as a guideline more than a law in my life. And one time, I decided that, you know what? He thinks I'm not ready, but I'm ready. I'm going to take his truck. And away I went. I drove downtown, and it was all smooth sailing, mostly because I lived at the top of town, and I drove down hills all the way to this one stop sign. Remember this stop sign? I must have been 16 years old, and I still remember that moment very, very clearly, because I was coming to the stop sign and realizing that the guy who always had the nicest car, he was a couple years older than me, he had just graduated high school, he had the nicest car, he was driving up to the stop sign, I was driving up to the stop sign, and you know when you want that person to go through before you, so you're trying to, you know, my tires haven't stopped yet. My car hasn't stopped yet. We basically both stopped it right at the same time. And he had the coolest car, always had the nicest music going. I don't know if it was nice as far as church nice goes, but just lots of sound, and it was always full of people. Like everyone wanted to hang out with this guy, be with this guy, ride in his car. Everything was super intimidating about this guy. And here we are at a four-way stop, and I'm driving my brother's truck, which I was told I shouldn't take downtown, guideline more than a rule. And I'm deciding if I should go, and so I just start waving him on, like, go ahead, it's okay, you can take the turn, and he's like, no, you're here first, and waves to me like this, and music blaring, doing all that. I'm like, no, you go ahead. I was so nervous, because I knew that this was going to be the first test of my ability with a clutch in the standard vehicle. So he's waving me on. I'm like, no, you go. And eventually I'm like, well, what am I going to do? This is the coolest guy in town. He's got way more power than me. Okay, I'm going to have to go. And so I'm like, Lord, if you're ever going to show up in my life, this is your moment. You know, I put it in first. I start going. Everything's going just perfectly fine for the first about quarter of the intersection. I'm moving along, and then the truck starts hopping like crazy. I'm supposed to put in the clutch then or hit the gas or something. So I got to do something. But instead, I'm just trying to ride it out all gently. Hi, guys. And I'm trying to wave to these guys. It's all good. Nothing to see here. Like, look, I got a vanilla-scented tree. It's awesome. And I'm like trying to carry on. His bum, bum, bum. His whole car's laughing. They're all just like getting a kick out of my mess up in this moment. The road all of a sudden got pretty darn bumpy for me. I'm bumping along, and I'm thinking, like, I'm so cool. I get to drive a standard downtown. I get to do something that my brother told me not to. This is going to be awesome. And the road got super bumpy. I don't know if any of the people in that other vehicle would have ever remembered the moment, but for me, every time I saw them, I thought, man, they know me. They recognize me. I'm so embarrassed. I can't believe I did that. All of that just because I decided that I knew better than my brother. I knew better than him, and he's just my brother. He's just a human, but how many of us live our lives believing that I know what God said, but I'm going to treat his standard and rules for my life as a guideline more than a rule. I'm going to go ahead and I'm just going to veer a little off of that for now. I'm going to go and do something else instead of that right now. Yeah, he said that, but I'm just going to go and try this. God doesn't know as much as he thinks he knows. I'm going to go and try it this way for myself instead. See, sometimes God leads us to a broken road so he can walk with us. He can take us through it. He can remind us of how great he is, but sometimes he's not leading us. Sometimes he's leaving us to our own choices, our own decisions. And sometimes when we're on a bumpy road is a better time than ever to stop and say, God, did I make a wrong turn? God, did you call me to do something and I chose to do anything but it? God, did you have a plan for my life that I've completely rejected? God, do you love me? But I sort of said, no, I'd rather just go ahead and love myself. God, were you trying to lead me down this road? And instead, I went down this road. And all of us at some point in our lives decide that we want to turn away from God. I'm going to go and do my own thing. I'm going to value myself over him in this moment. And we forget how much he loves us. We forget how much he protects us. We forget how much he wants to look after us, because something else looks better for a little while. All of a sudden, we can find ourselves on a broken road, wondering why we're there. It can become very, very clear in our lives that the very reason we're there is not because God wants us there, but because we're exactly where we shouldn't be. God is over here, and he said, I'm still there. I still want you, but as long as you want to walk away, you're going to be on your own. You're going to face those bumps alone. You're going to face those challenges alone. I don't know about you, but for me, I've had a few moments in this season with coronavirus and the pandemic going on where I've realized that things just have slowed down. I can't do certain things that I used to do. I can't act some of the ways that I used to act. And my mind starts going, and often I'm saying, God, would you show me? Show me if there's pieces of my life that are out of order. Show me if there's pieces of my life that would cause me to be on this bumpy road. Show me if there's areas of my life that I decided to walk away and now I'm dealing with the consequences of those things. This is an amazing story in the Bible. And this story has come up around our staff a lot lately. A lot of people have just been saying that it feels like God is speaking to something. It's the story called the Prodigal Son. And a lot of our staff have just been really recognizing together and in our prayer times on Zoom, as we've been meeting digitally together, we've been really sensing that maybe the season that God has brought us into right now is a season where those who were far from God, making their own decisions, following their own paths, maybe, just maybe, now is a time where they start to return. Maybe today that's you. Maybe today you're wondering if something is going on in your life, something is haywire and broken in your life, and part of that could be because you decided to walk away from the one who loves you most long ago. We're going to look at that story because Jesus shares it. He shares it because this is so normal for people to walk away from even the one who loves them most. Luke 15, 11 to 24 says, Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. And not long after that, the younger son got together all he had and set off for a distant country. You know, I like that Jesus doesn't say what country or where he landed exactly. He just says a distant country. In other words, this son says, Dad, I want everything that I'm entitled to. I want all that you should give me. And I don't want to wait until you're dead. I don't want to wait till it's done because I want to go live my life now. And so I just want to end up anywhere but here, a distant country. Which one? Just distant, just away. I just want to be far from you. I think Jesus paints a really good picture for us here, because often that's our very approach to faith and to God. Something offends us, something hurts us, something annoys us. So we feel like we're trapped in our religion or whatever it might be. And we say, I don't know where I want to be, but I know it's not here. Just get me a distance away. Went off to a distant country and there squandered all his wealth in wild living. Of course, Jesus shows us this difference between his dad and him. His dad, this responsible landowner who's able in that moment to give his son this financial stability, and this son who wants to just go and live a wild life. Of course, he doesn't look at that wild life and say, that's a broken road. He looks at that wild life and says, this looks nice. Looks good. Dad looks boring. This life looks adventurous. Dad looks structured. This life gives me the freedom that I want to run with. Dad's life is going to put restrictions on me. It's going to cause me to, I'm going to have to do all sorts of things that aren't that fun. This just allows me to do everything fun all the time, whatever I want. It looks really good to him. It says he squandered all his wealth in wild living. And after he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country. I love how God sometimes shows up in moments like this. I don't know that God would have orchestrated this whole thing or not. But here this boy has sort of rejected his dad and his dad's lifestyle, has run away to what looked like a tantalizing kind of life, has started living this wild life, has squandered everything he has, and then all of a sudden, coincidentally, though I'm assuming this is God showing up in this moment, he's not giving him any fallbacks. He says, you've squandered everything, but also the country you're in is now in a famine. You got no fallback. You've got nothing to lean back on. I think probably some of us are feeling that same way during this coronavirus pandemic. We're like, man, everything in my personal life is challenging. Everything in my personal life is overwhelming. I can feel my finances slipping through my fingers. I can feel my sanity. I'm walking around with fear. I'm in panic everywhere I go. I don't want to get it. I don't want to give it. I don't want to spread it. I don't want to share it. I'm going to live in all of this stuff, and we can have this real freaking out kind of moment in our personal lives, and then say, well, at least outside of me, everything is stable. Not the country, the world is facing the same challenges. So your usual fallbacks in some ways have been stripped out from you. So it says, this young man says, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country. I want you to recognize something in this moment. This young man, at that point, he knew he was in need. He knew exactly where he could get that need met. He could go back to dad, but instead says, I'm going to solve this for myself right here. Some of us get so stubborn about how we deal with God that we say, I've left you, I've gone away from you, I've walked away from you, and crisis hits, the broken road shows up, we're feeling all of the rumbling around, and we say, yeah, but I will get through this, I will solve this, I will take care of this problem. I've already left you, God, leave me alone, I don't need you in my life. So he went out, he got a job. It said that citizen sent him to his fields to feed pigs. Well, this guy was so hungry, it says he longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. You know, this week I recognized something new that I've never seen in this story. No one gave him anything. You know what that means? They were willing to feed the pigs, but they weren't willing to feed this guy. Pigs had more value to this culture than that guy. Pigs had more value to these people than this man. He had become less valuable in this country where he thought it was going to be so perfect and happy because he was far from his dad. In this country, he was now lower than the pigs, less valuable than them. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you, and I am no longer worthy.'" You know, this may feel counterintuitive to you. Maybe not something that comes naturally to you. It doesn't really come naturally to me. It doesn't really come naturally to anyone. But when we're on a broken road, and that broken road is starting to tear us apart, and we're starting to feel how damaged, how broken, how hurting, how strained we have become, when we're in that position in life, all of a sudden the very best spot we can get is the very spot that this young man got to and says he realized he was no longer worthy. other words, he realized he couldn't take care of himself. He realized that he wasn't good enough even to be taken care of by other people. In fact, it was good for him to recognize that some people were going to look at him a little lower than the pigs in society. It was good for him to be broken. There was something necessary about that broken road, shattering his pride, shattering the way he took care of himself, all of his self-care methods, all of his stuff that felt good, shattering all of his addiction, shattering all of the things that he leaned on and relied on. Now he's standing in a spot saying, I am no longer worthy. And it's the best spot for him because at that spot he turns around. Many of us need a turnaround moment in our lives. Many of us have been wandering for a long time on a broken road. And all we knew about that road was that we just wanted to get rid of the faith of our families. We just wanted to put God behind us. We just wanted to put the Bible and Jesus behind us and follow this path for myself. I don't really care what I do as long as it's not that. I don't care what rules I abide by as long as they're not those. I don't care how I live as long as it's not how my parents live because I didn't like that thing. For some of us, there becomes a breaking point in our lives, and I want you to know that that's a really good spot to be. So all of a sudden we say, God, maybe there was something in you. It says he's no longer worthy to be called your son, and so make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. Well, while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. I want you to know something about this father. This father wasn't sitting there. This is Jesus telling a story about the father, and he's speaking about the father God. He's not sitting there stewing on who this son is. He's not spreading bad stories about his son. He's not looking down, this isn't God and trying to talk to his angels. Said, this guy, he is a joke. He rejected me. He ran. He's doing this wild living. I can't believe it. He gets what he deserves now. He's living out what he should be living out now. He's broken, but he did it to himself. That's a broken road. He did it to himself. No, God's not sitting there doing that for any one of us. But instead, in that broken road, the dad is compassionate for him. The dad is loving of him. The dad is broken for him. Comes running to him, hugs him, kisses him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. I want you to know something. Every single time you go to God with that heart, he's going to do exactly what this father does. Some of us think, that God, I don't know, it's a little too far gone. Maybe you're watching right now, and you're watching because even if church was gathering right now, you don't want to have anything to do with church, and you've rejected this all. And maybe you thought that because of that, God was, you know, disappointed and telling all people and sort of putting a sign up saying, don't let this person in church. No, God's been sitting compassionately waiting for you when you show up and say, God, I'm not worthy for your love. He never says, that's correct. God never looks at you and say, finally, you get it, you're not. So yeah, you can have a slave role, but I'm going to see how you do. You're on probation, son, because you've done some bad thing. No, he doesn't say, that's all correct, even though it is correct. He says, no. You recognize now that you're not worthy, which means you recognize the love that I have for you. You recognize how I've provided for you. You recognize that I am a good father, that I can care for you and look after you. You recognize that this is a good spot for you and that broken road wasn't the way you needed to be walking. And he says, since you recognize that, you came back. And when you came back, here's what I will do. Every single time while he's telling him that he should be a servant, the father says, to the servants, quick, bring the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. You know, as I was thinking about what I would say through this whole time, through this whole sermon, my heart was for repentance. My heart was for a turning around that we might experience, that sometimes the broken road is not because we're obeying God and walking through it, though that's sometimes the case, but sometimes that broken road is meant to cause us to turn around. We need to recognize that we're on it because we rejected him. We rejected his plan and his purpose for our life, and that's what's taken us there in this moment. My heart was for repentance. So I started digging through the Bible and I trying to decide, where should I pull from? What should I speak from? God, would you direct my heart? I ended up at the prodigal son. But before that point, I was reminded that there's no spot in the Bible where this is not the message. There's no spot in the Bible. You can't read through the Bible and there's almost nowhere that you can see that God says, oh, those people turned back to me, but nah, they mistreated me too bad. There's no spots where you see God saying, yeah, you think you can get back in the house, but actually, too bad, so sad, you're not allowed back in, you've been bad. The Bible is all about God's love, people's rejection of it, God's pursuit of them, and then either repentance, returning to God, or being stiff-necked and continuing to walk away. After the people of God, Israel, had lived a whole lot with God, if you read through the whole Old Testament, there's a chunk near the end. It's all these prophets speaking, all of them speaking into Israel and how far they've wandered from God, how far this broken road has taken them, how far they've decided to go away from God's will for their life. And here's what they say over and over. These are all prophets that actually speak into those who have rejected God, those who have turned away from God. Here they are. Zechariah 1:3, it says, therefore tell all the people, that's you and me, this is what the Lord Almighty says, return to me, declares the Lord Almighty, and I will return to you. Joel 2:12-14, even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with weeping and fasting and mourning, rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord, and he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity. Malachi 3:7, ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you. Hosea 14:1, return Israel to the Lord your God. Your sins have been your downfall. Jeremiah 24:7, I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord. They will be my people and I will be their God, for they will return to me with all their heart. Hosea 6:1, come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces. He's allowed us to walk that broken road, but he will heal us. He has injured us. He's left us to our sin, but he will bind up our wounds. You know, wherever you find yourself today, physically, wherever you are, maybe you're in a living room, maybe you're in a loft, maybe you're outside, maybe you're hiding in your car because you don't want anyone to know that you're watching church online. Wherever you are right now, if you're far from God, God doesn't have different messages depending on who you are. He doesn't say, for you, do this, 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 and this, and then let's talk. He doesn't say, for you, why don't you go ahead and try these things, and as long as you memorize these scriptures, then I'll know you're serious. The message is the same no matter where you're at. Return to me. Come back. It's tearing out my heart that you're bumping down a road alone. It's tearing out my heart that you're not with me, and I'll respect your wishes if you want to walk away from me. But if you'll let me, I will receive you back like a father receiving a son. I will welcome you back, and you don't have to do anything. All you have to do is turn around, come back with me. Let's walk together. I'll put a ring on your finger. I'll give you a robe to wear, the sandals on your feet. I'll bring in the feast. I'll celebrate. We'll have dancing and singing because I love you. And the greatest thing that you could do for me right now, says the Lord Almighty, is return to me. Who knows why coronavirus all of a sudden happened? Who knows why this pandemic took place? But I do know that God can use this time to get your attention, invite you back into relationship with Him. That though some broken roads are just part of the journey and we need to walk them with Him, sometimes we're on that broken road because we've walked away from Him. And He says, return. So I just want to pray for you. If today you're saying, I need to return to the Lord, maybe wherever you're at, I don't know if there's kids around you, if it's busy in your house, I don't know. Do what you need to do. If you have a quiet moment, you can raise your hands like this. You can hold the hand of the person next to you. I just want to pray for you that God would show you the way back to Him. Lord, thank you that your word is absolutely chock full of you saying, even though you walk away from me, even though you resist me and turn away from me, even though you persist in rejecting me, though there's punishment, though there's broken roads, though I leave you to your own sin, though that is the case, if you will return to me, I will receive you like a father receiving a son. Jesus, help each of us to receive that love. Help us each to respond to that love. Help us to experience that love and return to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, everybody.